By the General Services Administration's accounting, $26 billion worth of contracts are due to run out over the next year, and GSA sees it as a perfect chance to reduce some duplication in the service contracting vehicles. There are thousands of them across government, and consolidate that work into a smaller number of multiple award contracts. Bob Lohfeld is CEO of the Lohfeld Consulting Group, and he joins us now to talk about a potentially busy year ahead for service contract competition. Hi there, Bob. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure, Jared. Great to be with you.
And GSA says it doesn't particularly care whether agencies move this work to some of their existing agency IDIQs or to GSA's contracts. They just want to see less duplication. I guess the bottom line is the work's still got to get done. Realistically, what do you see happening over the next year as these all get recompeted in one form or fashion?
It's a huge opportunity for consolidation in the market, but the consolidation will largely occur after these recompetes are done. And what we'll see is government organizations, raising the question internally, do they create their own vehicle or compete their own vehicle, or do they just pitch in and go with one of the major vehicles in the market? And the market is driving that competition, and GSA is working hard, as well as others, with the GWAC vehicles to create this consolidation in the market.
And as that decision-making process goes on, what sorts of tools do the administration and GSA have to encourage prod agencies into making sure they actually do consolidate rather than continue a proliferation of more and more IDIQs?
Yeah, so far there hasn't been a policy statement or a directive to drive the consolidation. It's been more market-focused, and the agencies with the larger vehicles, the more significant vehicles, are competing on service to their client base and competing on price and competing on capabilities. So we're watching government agencies like GSA and NIH with their vehicles competing for market share, and the contractors that have been awarded contracts are also helping this competition by showing agencies that want to procure that there's more choices than one in the market. The best and probably the most cost-effective will be the survivors of this.
Interesting. So whether it's done as a matter of policy or just, as you suggest, through market forces, what are sort of the plus and minuses from an industry perspective of moving all this work to a smaller number of contracts?
Well, it's a cycle that we see in the industry, and it comes about every 10 years that we have these major contracts being recompeted, and we're right in the heart of that competition now. So as a practitioner in industry, it's the opportunity of a decade to get a piece of this pie, and maybe the opportunity of a lifetime. Some of the major vehicles are playing through now in competition. GSA's Enterprise Information Solutions, the RFP is out and bidders are working away on it. Alliant, large and small, is out now in draft, and that will play through here in the next quarter. That's together maybe $65 billion. And with Enterprise Information Solutions, the tab goes up to $100 billion, and there's many more that are coming through in competition. So now is the chance as an industry player to pick your vehicle and double down and make sure you get a seat going forward for the next 10-year cycle.
One of the data points that Tiffany Hickson from GSA mentioned a couple weeks ago that was interesting to me was that 80% of federal spending on services already goes to just 140 companies. So does it logically follow that as we move to fewer and fewer contracts, that other 20% increasingly gets squeezed out and there's more work for the people who are already doing work and less competition in that other 20% space?
The players, then there'll probably be 150 or 200 companies that survive as main players through this, through all the recompetes of these multiple award contracts. If you're not a practitioner there, if you're not a winner, your path to the market is going to be through GSA schedules. And there they have a much broader enrollment and a broader opportunity to play in the market. But, Jared, you're right. If you're not one of the stakeholders going forward out of this 10-year cycle, you're going to find the market very, very tough to participate in a significant way.
And I know you said a lot of the consolidation that's happening has been market-based so far, but there have been some policy directives like the one the administration issued earlier this month, basically telling agencies they got to buy all their laptops and desktops off of one of three vehicles. And apparently the new BPA for credit monitoring is going to be mandatory use for federal agencies soon. I mean, do you expect to see more of those directives coming out of the administration saying for certain categories of stuff, you got to use contracts we already have?
I really like the one on the category management one on laptops and desktops, and what it did under that directive is it said we're going to narrow it down, the acquisition, to basically three vehicles, NASA SUP and CIO Commodities and Services and IT Schedule 70. So as a government agency, you have three paths to the market. Within those paths, there's lots of contractor choices. But to help narrow it down, they set up some standard configurations of desktops and laptops that most agencies will be encouraged to buy, and there's goals for doing it. So I think that policy becomes a template for what we may well see in the IT services space, that they will narrow down the selection to some set of major vehicles. And if that happens, those practitioners on those vehicles will be having a win party for sure. And those that are outside will be wondering how they get back in the game.
Lastly, you mentioned earlier, Bob, that these things tend to run in cycles where we have a large proliferation of contract vehicles and then a wave of consolidation. I'm just curious if you have any theories as to why that cycle tends to happen and why it runs in cycles, and if there's anything that can be done to head off the next proliferation, if it really is a cycle.
Just a theory about it. Back maybe 15 years ago, there was lots of success with some early vehicles, and these vehicles have a lifespan to them. But there was GSA had vehicles out like Millennia and Millennia Light and GSA Answer, and then along came COSP One for services, IT services, and it caught on as a very popular thing. And lots of agencies said, well, if they're doing it, we'll make our own and we'll avoid paying fees to these agencies that are offering this as a service. And it became very popular for agencies to create their own vehicle. And they all did it in the 2003, 2001, that time frame. So the vehicles go to market with initially a 5-year life, and now they seem to have about a 10-year life to them. And just because of that popularity that occurred, almost 15, 20 years ago, we're seeing that come back cycle after cycle. So our 2015 cycle is very large in these vehicles, and 2025 is predicted to be another cycle, with the vehicles gaining in popularity and maybe becoming so popular that they close down the market to where these are the paths to the market, just as we saw in the OMB directive.
Yeah, I mean, the allure of creating your own contract vehicle to avoid paying fees, I can understand the allure of that from an individual agency's perspective. But when you add up the contract administration costs of all of those little things across the government, I mean, it adds up. I wonder how big the extra administration costs of that are in the industry side. Are they commensurate with what it costs the government to run all of these smaller individual vehicles?
I believe they are. And, we talked to companies where they have dedicated a management team that just manages these vehicles, and we've seen some of them proudly announce that they're holding more than 50 vehicles that will service the IT market. So they have lots of choices to get to market and a commensurate amount of overhead expense with it.
Understood. All right, Bob Lohfeld, CEO of the Lohfeld Consulting Group. Thanks so much, Bob.
My pleasure, Jared. Thanks.